We go through this series. We're going about through the book of James, line by line, chapter by chapter, on a series we've called Down to Earth Faith. And today we're going to be focusing on James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, and have entitled this message today, The Truth About Temptation. James, of course, as we know, was the brother, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, and we've talked about that and the importance of that in the even in the letter as we began studying this book. And so today we're going to see what James says. He's already talked about trials. Today he's talking about temptations. And so if you have your place there in James chapter 1, stand with me as we read God's word together. James 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, or it comes full circle, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. We ask, Lord, for your help. We pray that the blessed Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, may illuminate, Lord, your word to our minds and to our hearts today. Help us to understand, Lord, what you are saying to us. And help us, Father, to apply the truth of your word to our lives today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, James, as we said, he's already made us aware of the fact that as believers, all of us face trials throughout our lives. And he said that all of these trials have a purpose behind it, and that is to mature us in our faith. He said if we will persevere, if we will endure the trial. And now he moves to another area of struggle that's present in a Christian's life, and that's the struggle of temptation. As we start talking about temptation, let me just say temptation in and of itself is not bad. That is, when temptation is presented to you, you've not sinned unless you give in to the temptation or you yield to the temptation. We see this in the life of Jesus, of course, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus experiences the wilderness temptation and Satan presents several temptations to him, and Jesus resists those temptations. And so just having it presented isn't a sin unless you yield to it, you give in. So we know the temptation's a very real part of a believer's experience. As the title of this series is, we're talking about down-to-earth faith, things we know that are a real part of the issues that we struggle with and that we confront and face in the Christian life. And temptation is one of those things. We'll just never escape it. As long as we're in this world, until we go home to meet Jesus. Somebody said the temptations are sure to ring your doorbell, but you don't. That doesn't mean that you have to invite them in for dinner. And they will ring your doorbell, right? Different ways. They're sort of like trials. They come in different ways, different colors, various schemes that Satan has to tempt you. And so just as with trials, there are different kinds of temptations, but regardless of the temptation, the Bible tells us that we can overcome them, that we can have success over them. Here's one of the most familiar passages we usually consider when we're talking about temptations. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13, where Paul says this. This is one of those memory verses that you need to hide away and keep memorized, hidden in your heart as you battle with temptations from time to time. This is what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now it's interesting that the words trial and temptation are the very same words in the Greek. You say, well, that sounds confusing. How do you know which one it's talking about? Of course, as always, you have to look at the context. How is it being used? And that's how we determine whether it's trial or temptation. Now, the word trial that's translated in your Bible means a testing or a proving of your faith. And we've already examined some of that, that the trials come as Jesus puts them in their lives, or God allows them into our lives to fashion us, to mature us, to move us on the road of sanctification, that we might become more like Him. So it's a proving ground, if you will, of your faith. Temptation has to do with an enticement to do evil, to sin. And that's usually in the area of some virtue of our integrity. So again, that being said, temptation is not always viewed as bad in the Bible. It might lead to acts of sin, but sometimes temptation is also an opportunity for obedience. For example, Joseph. We know that in Genesis, Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, but Joseph did not yield to the temptation and is actually strengthened through that. So it wasn't bad. It didn't lead Joseph to an act of sin, but rather it gave him an opportunity to obey God. He said he could not do that, he said, and sin against God. And so it was a chance to affirm his personal commitment to God. And so temptation can be used like that in our lives as well. But what I want to do today is just to help us to understand the truth about temptation. That is, where does temptation come from and what does it do in our lives, and how can we win over temptation, if you will? How can we have success or victory over temptation? And so first, let's think about the source of temptation. Where do temptations come from? Well, James doesn't mince words, and he makes it really clear. You couldn't say it any clearer than he does in verse 13 when he says, let no one say when he is tempted, that is enticed to do evil, that I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. That doesn't need any explanation, does it? I mean, that's pretty clear. We understand exactly what James is saying. You know, God does not entice people to do evil. Question. Do some people today think that is not true? Do some people think that God actually causes them to do evil? That God makes them do evil? That it was, or in other words, they say, well, it was God's fault. They most certainly do. Here's a few scenarios. You know, if God hadn't put all that food in front of me, I wouldn't have gained 10 pounds last month. Or if God hadn't put duck donuts in Nag's Head, you know, I wouldn't have eaten that box last week. By the way, I'm not confessing here, so I'm just giving an example. So, although I did eat a duck donut, but only because somebody brought it to the church council meeting and delayed it out in front, and I did yield to the temptation. So there, that is the confession. But some people do think that. Some say this, well, you know, if God hadn't let those people offer me drugs, then I wouldn't have taken those drugs. Or, God, if you hadn't made me with such an angry temper, you know, I wouldn't curse so much. Or, God, you know, if you had only made me rich, I wouldn't have to gamble. I wouldn't have to buy all those lottery tickets, and on and on and on you go. You've heard a thousand other things where people say, you know, if God hadn't, then I wouldn't. But James is saying this, remember, if your enticement to do something evil, rest assured that enticement didn't come from God, because God does not tempt. What does he say? You can't say that. You can't say that you're tempted by God, because God cannot even be tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. In other words, James is saying this, the reason that temptation does not come from God is that God's nature prohibits him from enticing someone to do evil. That's not part of the nature and the character of God. God is absolutely holy. He is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. See, God tests us in the times of trials. James has already told us this, to bring out the good, to mature you, to bring you through the fire, to refine your life as you bear up and endure under the trial. God uses that to form and shape you. On the other hand, Satan tempts you to bring out the worst in you. So God doesn't do that. When James says this, when he says, let no man say, I am tempted by God, he's indicating there when he uses that word that God is not the direct agent of temptation. And by the way, he is not even the indirect agent of temptation. God is not involved in the temptation. Why? Because sin doesn't have any appeal to God. He's opposed to sin. He doesn't tempt anyone. See, every time you and I are tempted to do evil, let's remember where the temptation comes from. It's the temptation, the enticement to do evil. Is this enticement to do evil that I'm thinking of, is that from God? Yes or no? No. James says no. That is not from God. Well, then who is it from if it's not from God? Well, that's another question. It's from our mortal enemy. It's from Satan. It's from your sinful nature. You see, when we begin to see temptation for what it really is, we can start praying more effectively and saying, God, help me to overcome it. In other words, don't blame God. And someone has said this, they said, and don't blame God if your trial becomes a temptation. Always be aware where the temptations are coming from, but know this, James says, God does not tempt anyone, and he himself cannot be tempted. See, if your temptation is an enticement to do something evil, to do something wrong, then we can rest assured that has not come from God. God is holy. God is righteous. And the temptation does not come from him. So James says this is the source of temptation. It doesn't come from God. And then he talks about the cycle of temptation. He says, don't say that you're tempted of God. God can't be tempted by evil. He himself doesn't tempt anyone. And then he gives us the explanation of where it comes from. He said, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when that desire has conceived and it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. So he explains to us this cycle of temptation. That is, again, he's very clear on how it begins. It begins with us. It begins when we're tempted, when we're drawn away by our own desires and enticed. He said that's how the cycle starts. In other words, there's an internal aspect to temptation, and there's an external aspect to temptation. You're drawn away. Why? Because of your own inward desires. Guy King used to call these, he called this the lure and the lust. He said, lure and lust work in collaboration together to bring you down as a believer. Your sinful nature, the lust that is in you, and then the lure that is presented by the world, the flesh, or the devil. See, unlike God, who cannot be tempted and who does not tempt others, you and I have something in us that causes us to sin. It's our sinful nature. Sometimes the Bible refers to it as the flesh. Sometimes we call it the self-life, that is, which just simply means it's when you seek to live life independently of God. You go your own way. You live your own way. According to your own rules, according to your own standards. So you can't blame God for sin and say, well, if God hadn't done that, if God hadn't put me in that situation, then it wouldn't have happened. And by the way, we can't blame the devil either. You know, like Flip Wilson. Now, some of your parents may have to explain to you, who in the world is Flip Wilson? The pastor says somebody about Flip Wilson. Who's Flip Wilson? So maybe you can Google, you know, YouTube Flip Wilson. But all of you adults, older adults, know who Flip Wilson was. What do you say? The devil made me. The devil made me do it. That was Flip's version of it. The devil made me do it. Well, nice try. Nice try, but it's just not, it's not so. Don't blame the devil, you know, for what you do just in your own sinful nature. It's your sinful nature that causes you to sin ever since the Garden of Eden. I mean, men have wanted to blame God for their sin. This is what Paul said in Romans 7. He said, but now, he said, it's no longer I who do it, he said, it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. In other words, we have this struggle, even as we're following the Lord in sanctification. There's this struggle against our flesh and wanting to follow God and knowing what God has said in His Word, wanting to please Him, live a life that pleases Him, to set our minds on things above, and yet we have this struggle with our sinful nature. Somebody described the flesh like this. I've never forgotten it. They said the flesh is like a radar system that scans the environment around us for temptations to respond to. I thought, I sort of like that illustration. I think that's pretty good. Your flesh is just like radar, just doot, scanning the environment to try to respond to our sinful nature. It's what happened with David. You remember with Bathsheba. Began with a desire. You know the story. We don't have time to read it, but those of you who are familiar with it, you know the story. James describes it perfectly. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The word desire there is the word for craving. It's this sinful craving, this desire. Now, let me just say this. Desires, if they're rightly channeled, are good. It's only when our desires aren't rightly channeled that they turn into something bad. Jesus said it like this in John 15:7. This is such a great verse, and I think it's a key verse in understanding this whole idea about our desires. Jesus said this. He said, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That is, when we're desiring the things of God, those desires are rightly channeled. It's only when we begin to desire our own way, our own thing, and our desires get misdirected, that we get in trouble and we're drawn away, James says, and enticed. And he says, and nobody's immune to this. I mean, he doesn't say, you know, if you're tempted. Again, he says, and when you are tempted. It's just when. There aren't any exceptions. There's no exemptions. There's no exclusions. Everybody experiences it. All Christians. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, whether you're a new Christian or you've been a Christian for 40 years, you still experience temptation. Your temptations may be different, but you still experience temptations. And this is the truth about temptations. Satan hides the consequences. Says we're drawn away by our desires and then enticed. He said, and when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, he said, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived about this. This is something very, very serious. It's just like, and we use this illustration in this passage a lot. I've heard every preacher that I can remember give this illustration. It's always about fishing. You know how that, you know, you put the hook and you take the hook and you put it into the bait so that the fish can't see it? I mean, it's not going to bite a bare hook if you just throw it in the water, but you put something on the hook and hide the hook so that it entices. It draws that fish out from under its cover. And it's enticed, that it's hungry, it wants something, and then it bites into it, doesn't realize that that shiny, wiggly worm had something deadly inside of it, and it's hooked. James says that's the truth about temptation. See, Satan didn't tell Adam and Eve, oh, and by the way, if you yield to this, there's going to be pain in childbirth. Oh, and maybe I should tell you too, you'll get kicked out of the garden. No, maybe I won't tell them that. And I won't tell them either, Adam, that he's going to have to labor, he's going to have to pull weeds for the rest of his life. Briars and thistles. And I definitely won't tell them that one of their children's going to kill the other. James says, do not be deceived about temptation. It is deadly. And we need to be dead serious about it. I love what Tony Evans said. He said, sin lures you in at a bargain rate, but you end up paying full price. And that's the truth. See, temptation always begins, James says, by being drawn away. Being drawn away, he said, and then enticed. I like to think of it like caller ID. I love caller ID. Don't you? Except the callers are getting tricky now. You've got to really watch them. Because I've noticed recently, I'll get a number, and it looks like a number from somebody I know. It's from a town maybe I used to live in. And then I pick it up, and it's a telemarketer. That's a whole nother, we could make a sermon out of that. Not a biblical sermon, but it's like caller ID. If you look on it and you say, I'm not answering that. I'm not picking up. See, Satan wants to draw you away and entice you to say, oh man, this is Publisher Clearinghouse. He wants us to pick up the phone. James says, resist that. You understand the truth about temptation. Don't be drawn away. Sin begins in the heart. That's where every true source of temptation begins and taps in to our sin capacity. He said he draws you away, entices you to sin. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 17:9. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things. It is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. Men are sinful through and through, totally depraved. How can temptation end? Does it end well? Well, if you're drawn away and enticed and you allow it to give birth and come full cycle, he says this is the way that it ends. The end of verse 15. Death. The child is death. The thing that is conceived is death when it's full grown. If you allow it to mature, see, you can catch it at any stage and terminate it and say, no, I'm not going to follow through on the temptation, not going to follow through on the desire and the enticement. But if you let it go full circle, James says, you better watch out. He says, because the end is death. Again, remember what happened in the Garden of Eden. There's that outward enticement, the lure, the fruit. There was the inward desire, and it became mature and ended in spiritual death. See, our will influences our desires. It influences our desires. It's not just a single action, as I put in your notes. It's a process. It's not usually that you have the temptation, all of a sudden it's just boom. It's a process that takes place. That's how James describes it. It's lust or a desire, and then it's deception, then it's a choice you make, and then that's disobedience, and it leads to spiritual death. And so the earlier you can catch it in the process, the easier it is to overcome. He says, but if you let it go, and you just let it ride, you're going to be in trouble. So we have to be very cautious about it, or as someone said, it's easier to stay out than to get out. And so he says, this is the cycle of temptation. It's always the same. It always follows the same cycle. So if you know the cycle, you know where it comes from, you know the cycle, you know how it starts, then you'll be able to head it off. And so let's look quickly at the end, and that's the success over temptation. He says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So he starts, he said, overcoming it, or having success over this cycle of temptation, starts with heeding the warning. Don't be deceived. In other words, pay attention. Do what God says. Listen to what I've just told you, James says. It always follows the same cycle. Be alert. Beware. Be careful. Don't be deceived. I always loved what John Bunyan said. He said, there's no way to kill a man's righteousness but by his own consent. You know, he says, heed the warning. Listen up. Be careful. James will say it a different way over in chapter 4 when he says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so we need to heed the warning, and then we need to trust his word. You see what James has done? First of all, he tells us what does not come from God. What does not come from God? Temptation, an enticement to do evil. What does come from God? Everything good. Everything good, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. And I want you to focus in on something he says in verse 18 when he says, he brought us forth by the word of truth. His word of truth is good and perfect. And we can trust God. We can trust his word of truth to guide us through, to give us instructions for life, to tell us this is how you deal with temptation. You remember what the old saying is? We say it sometimes, you know, God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. And God is good. Always remember that God is good. You know why you need to remember that? Remind yourself every day that God is good. It's because of this. Satan always tries to make God out like the bad guy. God's the bad guy. God did that. God did that. You wouldn't be where you were if God hadn't done that. And so he's always trying to make God out like the bad guy. James says, don't be deceived. God is good. And God is good all the time. And His word of truth will help you secure victory. Of His own will He brought you forth. By the power of His word, by the word of truth, He brought you forth. I mentioned that we need to hide away. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Here's two more verses. Proverbs 28:13 is another verse we need to keep hidden away that you'll use it often. It says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And we read 1 Corinthians 10:13 a while ago. The other verse is 1 John 1:9. Where John says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, will the power of temptation and the struggle with temptation ever end in our lives? Of course, we know the answer is no. Not until Jesus comes back or He takes us home. So what do we need to do? We need to learn. And remember that the more we love God, the more we abide in Him and adjust our life to Him, the less the world, the flesh, and the devil will influence our life. The more we set our affections on the things of God and on the person of God, just as we were reading in Sunday school this morning about seeking Him, seeking His mind, set your mind on the things of God. Seek those things which are above. The more we set our affection on those things, the less appeal and the allure that the world will give. Let me just remind you of this about the ultimate goal in temptation, in overcoming temptation. The ultimate goal in temptation for the Christian is not really victory. The ultimate goal for us in temptation is God. It is for us to look to God, to focus on Him, to turn our gaze on Him, to focus on Him and say, God, help me. Or to say like Joseph, how can I do this and sin against God? The focus is on God. That's the truth about temptation. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You may need to pray this prayer today. Lord, I confess that I've yielded to temptation and I've sinned. I've sinned against You. I agree with You that it must be forsaken. Forgive me, Lord, and help me to live for You, to set my gaze on You. Thank You. Or maybe you need to pray this prayer, Lord, thank You that this temptation that I've been experiencing is not greater than I can bear. And that actually it gives me an opportunity to prove that I love You more than I love this temptation. Lord, I trust that You're going to use it in my life to help me be stronger, to prove my love for You. Or maybe you need to pray this prayer, Lord, thank You for reminding me through this trial and temptation how desperately I need You in my life. Father, I don't know if if these prayers necessarily express anything that's on anyone's heart today. I believe it probably does. At least a few. But Lord, we pray today that you have used your word in our lives to awaken us to the reality of temptation and to how we can confront it and have victory over it as we focus on you. Help us to remember, Lord, that temptations, the enticement to evil, does not come from you. It comes from our enemy, comes from our own sinful nature. When we are drawn away by our desires and cravings and enticed, Lord, help us to recognize the cycle of temptation so that we can break out of it and focus on you, our good, good Father. In Jesus' name, amen.